Welcome to a Well-Built podcast from Biltwell Bank. I'm Don Griffin, Biltwell's Executive for Human Resources, and it's my pleasure to serve as your host. It's our goal to provide yet another resource for listeners to gain knowledge about current events in banking and to answer some of your most common financial questions, as well as connect with our communities in a meaningful way. If you miss an episode, you'll always be able to access all the episodes from our archive library available on our website, biltwell.bank, or wherever you get your podcasts. So let's get started. Today I have with me Biltwell President Mitch Sanford. Welcome, Mitch.
Don, always great to be with you.
Glad to have you back. Let's talk about the economy today. We've done that a few times.
Yes, sir.
And it's always good over time to keep updated on that. So I think the last Fed decision, it was in January. Tell us a little bit about that.
That's right. And there was no surprises, Don, at that January meeting. The Fed did not change short-term rates. They didn't move them. You know, the market, I guess back in December, started thinking that the Fed would start lowering rates very early in 24. I think the comments that were made after the January meeting, the decision not to do anything with rates, changed the market's mind because the Fed said basically, you know, we don't see any reason at this point yet to, you know, start lowering rates. So that was a bit of a shock, but the market had gotten a little too exuberant thinking that rate cuts were going to come really, really quick. Everybody's hoping that, right? And if you think about that, this is January was the fifth consecutive meeting that the Fed has not moved rates. Mm-hmm. And then you start looking at it on the calendar, the last rate increase was July of 23. So we've had now, 6-7 months. As we're recording this today, of no changes in the Fed's, you know, what they're trying to control, if you will, on the short-term interest rate side. And progress has been made from the inflation standpoint.
Oh, yeah, I was just going to ask. So all these actions that the Fed takes are to control inflation, correct?
Yes, sir. That's right.
And so what does that picture look like now?
Great. So the Fed's mandate – and I won't quote it exactly like they say it, but you know, it's that balance between their target is that 2% inflation rate and maximum employment, right? That's the two balancing pieces of their mandate. So the employment piece has been extremely strong now for several years. Inflation, you know, got way out of hand in 22. I think the peak was in the mid nines, percent right. Inflation at the peak, and then the Fed started their rate increases, and today we're in that low 3% range, you know, 3.1, 3.3, somewhere in that range, which is significantly down, obviously, from that, you know, low to mid nine number, but still above that 2% where the Fed wants to get it to, right? So that is the reason why the Fed is not motivated today, based on the data today, to start lowering rates, because we're not close enough, and the trajectory in the last 5 or 6 months is not steep enough to think that it's going to get to that 2%.
Go ahead and pull the trigger on that.
That's okay. Right. Yeah.
So what about the effect on the economy with all of that?
Yeah. So that's what's been a puzzler for most everyone that's looking at it, because again, as we've talked about, the rapid rate increases the Fed did over that 15-16 month period, everyone predicted the economy would go into a recession, and that just hasn't happened. Everyone predicted unemployment would rise dramatically because the economy is going into a recession, and that hasn't happened either. So I'll tell you, I think inflation, in my opinion, Don, is still a problem.
Okay.
And it's not just a problem because it's 3.1 or 3.3 compared to the Fed wanting it to be 2%. It's a, I think today, still a persistent problem, not one that's a short term here in the next few months. It'll get down, you know, closer to where the Fed wants to do, and the Fed will start lowering rates. And I know you've heard this many times in your career, but one of the basic principles of economics is supply versus demand, right?
Right.
You know, that there's lots of other fundamentals in there, but that is one of those fundamentals that's just there. And whatever the economy's doing, you're going to find some issue with a supply and demand, up, down, whatever that is, right? And so what hasn't happened that everyone thought would happen when the Fed raised rates as high as they did, as quickly as they did, was that would slow things down, would stop you and I from buying, okay, to the point to where the supply and demand would get out of balance, right? That the supply would go up because demand went down. And there you go. People have got to start lowering prices to get you and I to start buying again, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. And so what I believe has happened for most parts of our economy, there's some pockets where we talked about this, I think maybe even the last time we did this, that the manufacturing sector has probably been in a mild recession now for somewhere about 12 to 15 months. So there's pockets of where there was some supply demand, right, excess, and prices have come down. But for the most part, we have not seen that in our economy. We've not seen the demand. Well, we've seen demand fall, but those businesses in most of those sectors of our economy have managed their supply pretty doggone well. And so the price has stayed relatively high. Yes, sir. That's right.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, something that we talk about a lot here at the bank, obviously, and that's on a lot of people's mind is the housing market, right?
Right.
And to me, that is a perfect example of what I'm talking about. Because if you look at headlines, the headline says new housing sales are down 15% from year over year. Existing home sales are down, give or take, 15% year over year, right? And so when you read that headline and you say, gosh, the number of home selling is down, but prices haven't come down.
Right.
Why not? Well, you have to go one step further and look at the number of houses on the market and the number of new houses being built, permits being pulled, right? Guess what? Those are down about 15%, Don. Yeah. Right? So that supply and demand have stayed relatively even as they have went down. Yes, sir.
Both sides of the ledger have fallen.
Exactly right. Exactly right. Now, you can, for those folks in those particular industries where they've done a really, really good job of managing that supply, you know, gosh, you got to give them kudos. Mm-hmm. You know, great that they have been able to manage that well. The downside to that is that prices have not come down like everyone expected that to happen. And so my point in all that is to say is, as I look and read, what I have not seen yet is the excess supply so that the demand has dropped so significantly and whatever industry we're talking about here, and the supply of that for that particular industry has gotten so much higher than that demand to cause the prices to go down significantly.
Significantly.
Mm-hmm. I have not seen that yet.
Right.
Right. And so to me, it's a bit that simple, in that you don't have that imbalance yet with too much supply and not enough demand. And until we start seeing some of that, we're not going to get the significant price decreases that we're talking about. Again, that housing example is a perfect example of that. Matter of fact, home prices values are still going up.
in a lot of spots.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
So not only is it not coming down, now it's not going up at the rapid rate that it was, right? But still, you think about where it was at, and home prices are up 3 to 4%.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, that's a depending on what you thought prices might do. So if you thought they would drop 5%, yet they're up 3%, well, that's an 8% difference of what was expected as opposed to what's actually happening, which is significant,
right?
So I think that's what's happening today in our economy. I have not seen yet those pockets of that excess. Recent data just this morning, the Conference Board put out their reading of consumer confidence.
Mm-hmm.
That actually did slip a bit from what was expected.
Okay.
Now it's still not in the negative, if you will.
Right.
It just dropped
a little softer.
There you go.
Okay.
Yeah, a little softer.
So, you know, that brings always the $64 million question for our customers and for us as individuals as well. And that is what's going to happen with rates?
Sure.
Do we have any idea on timing or what will happen?
Yeah. I think the March meeting for the Fed is about 3 weeks away, thereabouts. You know, unless some smoking gun economic piece of data comes out in the next 3 weeks, I don't think they will do anything with rates again.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Nope. I think they'll stand pat. My opinion is they'll kind of give us the same wording they've been giving us, which is, you know, we're watching the data.
Uh-huh.
And when it starts looking like we need to, we're ready.
Right.
But we just don't see it yet. I do think, again, another one of those opinions and of mine is that I think if the Fed gets ahead of themselves lowering rates, it will definitely be bad because, again, the supply and demand piece.
Right.
If all of a sudden mortgage rates, let's just pick a, you know, pie in the sky here. Let's say mortgage rates drop back to 5%. Today they're around 7-ish.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, you know, thousands of people get into a house, back into the housing market. Remember, we said the supply had gone down. Mm-hmm. Well, what do you think?
Prices
are going to go way up again. And so, again, it's a precarious thing right now that the Fed's trying to balance. And so until they start seeing that, I don't think they're going to lower rates.
Okay.
So that's my guess.
All right. Well, thanks, Mitch, for your time today.
Thank you, Don.
And I appreciate you being with us again and giving us some thoughts about the economy and where it might be headed. And to our listeners, thank you for sharing a few minutes of your day with us. Stay tuned for our next episodes and follow A Well-Built Podcast on builtwell.bank or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Don Griffin for Built Well Bank. Well-built communities start with well-built banks.